This is the LarryInFishers.com podcast. I'm Larry Lannon, and this is the time of year we talk about activities outside, and particularly with the Parks Department, Park and Recreation Department of the City of Fishers. Marissa Deckert is the director of that department. Marissa, welcome back. Always good to talk to you.
Thank you. Great to be here.
You just mentioned it was 5 years ago we did our first podcast together.
My goodness.
Where does time go?
Yes, I agree.
I'd like to introduce Jordan Briard. He is the assistant director of Parks and Recreation here. So, Jordan, welcome. Good to welcome you to Fishers.
Hi, thank you, Larry. Appreciate you guys having me.
First chance to get a chance to talk with you. Now, you come to us from Plainfield for their Parks Department. Mm-hmm. And when you were there, as I understand it, you were in charge of the Aquatic Center and the Splash Island Water Park.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that should be great as we are getting some aquatic activity with a new community center that is underway as far as construction goes. But I understand that when you began this journey early in your career, you were a lifeguard.
Yeah.
Tell me about that.
Yeah, absolutely. So it's just one of those things I kind of fell into. I was a 15-year-old kid looking for a summer job, and I grew up right down the street from the pool. And so, and actually even before that, I was a junior lifeguard, and so we'll talk a little bit about our junior lifeguard program that we're having too. But I always tell people I used to pay to do all the things that the lifeguards were getting paid to do. So that was always fun. But I just really fell in love with that environment, just the camaraderie you had with the people and just the importance of the job. And just from there, I kind of fell in love with the parks world and had the opportunity to just kind of keep moving up in the ranks and get into supervisory positions, managerial positions, and just really get embraced into the parks and rec industry.
Big question for you as a lifeguard. Mm. Did you ever have to deal with a real emergency?
Absolutely.
Tell me about some of the ones you handled.
Yeah, so every day, you know, you kind of deal with some of the first aid issues, you have some bloody noses, scraped knees, all that kind of stuff. But every once in a while, some of your more serious training may have to kind of go into effect, and jumping in and saving some kids who probably should have had life jackets on or been a little closer to their parents. So there were some of those issues, and was just really lucky to have the training to do that. But other than that, nothing too serious. We've had some CPR situations that I was a part of, but you know, we were lucky to be able to save those people's lives too.
So you were able to use that CPR training.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Marissa, let me start with you on this question, because we have some changes coming up at Geist Waterfront Park.
We do.
As people probably know from all the publicity that got, last year the non-residents who were parking at the Geist Waterfront Park were charged a $50 parking fee during the summer months, essentially. Now there's been a change that's come up at the Board of Works and City Council that's been approved for the changes. Explain what changes people will see at that park this summer.
Sure. So we saw about 17,000 people out at Geist Waterfront Park last year. It's such a great amenity out there, and we didn't know what we didn't know. We were opening a waterfront park for the first time in Fishers, Indiana. We wanted to make sure that safety was number one. And so we really focused on that in our lifeguard training. And it was a success by, you know, that standard. And so this season, we've kind of taken away some of the barriers that existed last year. So last year you had to download your smart pass, verify your residency. You no longer have to do that now. So it's easy as, hopefully, if you are driving a vehicle to Geist Waterfront Park, you have your driver's license on you. You'll show that at the gate. And if you're a resident, you'll be let in all hours of the park that they are staffed. And if you are a non-resident, it'd be a $25 fee during peak hours only.
Now, how do you determine the peak? I asked that the other day, and I think are you still sorting that out, or do you have a system as to when there you will have peak hours and how you will let the public know what the peak hours are?
We do. So starting out this season, we're opening on May 25th. We will start with the peak hours being weekends from 1 to 6 p.m. And that's based off the data that we gathered, just kind of, you know, the busiest times that we saw throughout the season last year. So from 1 to 6 p.m. on Saturday and Sunday, And then holidays. So Memorial Day and 4th of July fall into the summer months. Those will be considered peak times, and that would be a $25 fee for non-residents per carload.
Well, one thing that I want to mention, and this came up at City Council, I believe, is that if you are a non-resident and you need to pay to park, I think last season, did you not have to have some kind of reservation or have to, that is now not the case this year, correct?
Correct. It is a pay at the gate. It's a simple, easy process. You used to have to reserve it at least 48 hours in advance, and that was kind of difficult. You never knew what the weather was going to be like, and so that was a concern for some people in planning ahead that far out. So it's as simple as we can make it, and keeping everybody safe.
Well, the mayor and some others have brought this up, and I'm curious if you have a way to handle this. The scenario where, let's say you have a set of grandparents, they don't live in Fishers, they're bringing their grandkids who are residents of Fishers into the park.
Yeah.
He was trying to figure out a way so that situation would not have to pay a parking fee.
Yeah, and I think we're going to be incredibly, you know, flexible with this as things arise. That was brought up at City Council, and my first thought, I don't remember if someone else said it first, but if you are a grandparent, I'm a grandparent, right? And I'm bringing I'm also a Fishers resident, but if I'm bringing my grandkids and they go to HSE schools, a student ID would also work, you know? Okay. So we'll be flexible with that, and our staff will be trained to take those as they come.
So you're trying to make it an easier experience. But from what I understand last year, a lot of people avoided the parking fee just by dropping people off and picking them up. So,
yes. Yeah.
And that was perfectly fine.
It was perfectly fine.
And
yeah.
It wasn't a problem. So you've tried to make it a little bit easier and limited the number of days and times that you would have these peak hours so people can come during non-peak hours and not worry about the fee.
Right, right. We want people to enjoy this like amazing amenity that we have here in our park system.
Let me go to Jordan, because Jordan, I did visit the farmer's market the first one and first Saturday of May.
Yeah.
Huge crowd. I think almost every vendor had a line.
Yeah.
You know, I had to wait in line twice to pick up a few things that I was planning to get. It gets to be bigger every year, really, in terms of the crowd that it draws. And it looked to me as if you've added some vendors this year as far as the number of vendors. So tell me about the plans. I know that there'll be some special Saturdays. What could you tell me about plans for the farmers market as we go along the summer months?
Yeah, so we're really fortunate to have a community that values the farmers market. And as you said, I mean, it was packed this past weekend, and we're expecting that to happen for the rest of the summer too. But we've got some really fun, exciting things happening at the farmers market. Just to kind of speak to your point about kind of expanding and adding vendors, you know, one of the components that we've added to this year's farmers market is celebrating some of our international vendors that we have. And so we've kind of designated an area for them to celebrate their culture and their heritage, and highlight them so people can go visit them, learn a little bit more about their countries, and also just eat some great food that they can offer as well. So we're excited for that as an opportunity this summer. But yeah, like you said, every Saturday we've got some specialty kind of days. All of those days can be found on playfishers.com, so you can plan for some of those. But just a couple of big ones that people look forward to. We've got an Accessibility and Inclusion Day. We've got a Biz Kids Festival. And one of the big ones is our Safety Day that happens in September. So just a couple examples of some of the specialty days that we have there. And so we really encourage everyone to come check that stuff out.
Yeah, Safety Days is always a very big event, but also that the Biz Kids. I mean, they're all, you wouldn't believe what some of these youngsters put together. Bertha, let me just ask you this question. There has been talk of having a winter farmers market once the event center is up. The event center will open in November. I'm not sure where that is or if you still have plans for that. But is there a possibility that that could happen?
I think absolutely a possibility. I think that there's a desire for it in the community. Space has always been, indoor space has always been the struggle. And so I think there's opportunity with the event center. We haven't quite gone down that road yet. I want to let them get open first. There's a lot to that, but definitely something we can explore.
Yeah, I remember that you tried that in Holland Park, and yes, it was a great idea, but wow.
It was tight.
It was extremely tight quarters, only a few vendors, and you know, think of there's a crowd. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'll stay with you, Marissa, because the Agra Park is open. And the Agra Park, I can't believe this. This is the fifth year for the Agra Park. This is one of Mayor Fadness's favorite projects. He grew up on a farm in North Dakota. So tell us what you'll be offering at the Agra Park this summer.
Yeah, so we just opened on May 1st for the season. There's not quite a ton to pick at the moment, but within the coming weeks, we should have some things available for you pick. This property is just, you know, we haven't gotten any more space to date, but it just continues to grow in so many ways. Our partnership with HSE Schools, with the second graders coming out there, and our teacher in residence, Brooke Daniel, is just incredible. We've gotten a grant for a greenhouse that is out there. We got a second grant recently for a second greenhouse that has not been erected yet. We are looking at doing some. It has been such a popular park. And when we opened in 2020, kind of really in the height of COVID, we had no idea what to expect. We do a lot of things where we just don't really know what to expect. And it's usually a great thing. But that playground, we didn't anticipate having, you know, hundreds and thousands of kids on it per day, which is what we're seeing now these days. So we're going to make some improvements to that playground area. One of the projects that I'm currently working on with Trevor, our operations manager out there, is a restroom building. I know it doesn't sound very exciting.
It's exciting if you have to go out there.
It's very exciting. So restroom building, but it will also have an indoor kind of program space that will help the second graders while they're out there, any community programming that we're doing, and then a country store is in the works. So some of the things that you might be able to find at the farmer's market when you're talking about the winter market could potentially be something that you would find out in the winter and throughout the summer at the Agra Park.
So, Jordan, have you had a chance to peruse the Agra Park?
Absolutely, yeah. It's becoming one of my favorite parks as well. And we just moved up here, and we live pretty close to the Agra Park, and so we're really excited, my wife and I, to go out there and pick some produce and have some healthy dinners in the future. So,
good for you. Yeah. Let me move to Brook School Park. Lots of publicity on those new murals. That are they finished or are they almost, are they done now?
They're finished.
They're completely done.
Yep.
Dakota Witskin is the artist, and Gary Harris was involved as well. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, Gary's out of the playoffs. I watched that game. He played for Orlando, and it was a tough loss for them. They had the lead, lost. I mean, it was just tough to see them have to lose. I'm sure when you're a basketball player in the NBA and you just barely lose out going to the next level, you know, that's hard on a player. But he has been involved, Gary Harris, in getting this the mural put together, and I would certainly encourage people to go and take a look at it if you're in the area of Brook School Park. But Jordan, you've got a 3-on-3 hoops tournament coming up on May 18th, so tell me about that.
So registration's open right now for any team to get together. They can sign up to participate in our 3-on-3 tournament. It's on May 18th, and it's going to be really exciting. I think this entire project is just one of the more unique projects that's happening in the city. It's just this really awesome opportunity for just athletics and art to kind of intersect and just kind of co-mingle. Two industries that people may not really think kind of go together, but this project's kind of proving that's possible. And so we're really excited about it, for sure.
I love 3-on-3 tournaments because I don't know about you. When I was a kid, that's how we played basketball in the neighborhood. It was 3-on-3 tournaments, or we just played 3-on-3 and had special rules, only played one side of the basketball court.
I think Brook School offers a really unique opportunity for that, with it being a neighborhood basketball court. And, you know, I think people call those courts home. And I know Gary Harris was someone who grew up playing on those courts. And so I think it's just kind of a story to kind of inspire kids here in the community that, hey, it's possible. If you love basketball, you go out there and you can kind of shoot for your dreams and go for that. And the same thing with the art component too. You know, Coda is really inspiring as an artist. And so her being able to do that, and we can incorporate her artwork into our parks, can also inspire the next generation of artists in our community too.
You never know when somebody's going to listen to a podcast. We're recording this on May 6th, so 18th is the deadline.
May 18th.
Get in on the three-on-three turn. Is there a fee for that? Or
there is, and there's also a three-point competition. So we'll kick off the day that day at 9 a.m. with a three-point competition. We've seen a lot of interest in our 8 to 13-year-old age group with the three-point competition. It's our three-on-three is 16 and up, and so the younger kids are getting in on that three-point competition, which is pretty exciting.
So you've got the little line there, all three-point line all set up on the court. Okay.
And then just like Fisher's Parks does, we're going to throw a big party around this, you know, and celebrate. So there'll be a presentation to Gary, a thank you. Gary will be on site. Coda will be there as well. We'll have potentially some local mascots and food trucks and a couple different kind of fun party activations, a DJ. And
so even if you don't sign up, come visit us at the park.
So you're going to have to build.
It'll be fun.
You're going to have to build stands if you keep this up.
Yeah, I know.
Let me stay with Marissa because the concert season is coming up. The Nickel Plate Amphitheater is a busy place as the weather begins to warm up. What can you tell us at this time, May 6th, about the concert schedule, the free concerts, the ticketed concerts? What could you tell us?
Yeah, so you're the first to hear it, Larry. It is exclusive. We're announcing our lineup kind of in the days to come, and kicking off Tuesdays with June 4th will be our first Tuesday night concert, and it'll be every Tuesday in June and July. We're kicking it off with Living Proof, which we've brought back. It's been a couple years since they've been on the Amp stage, but Nuvo, they're one of Nuvo's kind of best of indie bands. They were recognized on the indie artist list, and just a fun, high energy kind of pop and R&B band. So that's a really fun kickoff. We are inviting a couple of people back that have been here a couple years ago, but it's been a little bit of time. One of those is Soul Pocket, the Ladies of Soul Pocket. That was a fan favorite. They're based out of Cincinnati, so they're excited to travel back. On the 18th, we have the Naughty Yachties, and that's a yacht rock review, so your Hall & Oates and Ambrosia and all of those fun ones. They're indie natives. On the 2nd of July, we have Country Summer, and they're also indie natives. That's kind of pop country hits. And on July 9th, we have the Brothers Footmen. And so this is a group of four local indie brothers. They actually are brothers. And I saw them on stage at Garfield Park at an art festival, and they're just phenomenal. They do some original stuff for us. They're going to do a little bit more of the covers, the recognizable songs, but just a really, really fun group. They were performing at Indie All-Star. They were actually invited to perform there, so they're getting a lot of notoriety here on the local scene, so we're excited to invite them to the big stage. On the 16th of July, we have the Karma Band. And they are returning. They've been here the last couple years as well. And there is a bass player that you might recognize as someone being in our IT department.
I think I know who that person just might be.
Okay. July 23rd, this one is great. So I have a friend that lives kind of in the Geist area, and he texted me. This was over a year ago, and he lives close kind of to Daniel's Vineyard, and texted me and said, whatever band is playing at Daniel's Vineyard right now, you got to book for the Amp. They're so great. And he's a musician, and I trust his judgment. And so I looked it up, and I took a note of what band that was, and then I promptly lost that note. So I have been searching for this band.
Something I would do.
And finally found them, and it's the Second Wind Band out of Cincinnati, and very excited that they're joining us on July 23rd. Really fun kind of soul and R&B and pop music covers as well. And then we are ending the Tuesday night concert series on July 30th with Groove Smash. And they are a fan favorite. They were here last year. They played Spark for us a couple years ago. They're just kind of a nonstop party band as well. So those are our Tuesdays. We've got a couple. I know we're going to talk about Spark separately. So
okay, we can talk about the Spark concert.
Let's talk about the Spark concert. So we got two. We have on June 25th, that Tuesday, we're bringing back Uptown Funk. That is our Bruno Mars cover band. And then we will end that night with a drone show. So we're working on the designs for that drone show right now. And you'll see some of our logos, some other kind of Fisher's logos in there. We're really excited about that. And that planning starts months in advance to kind of coordinate those drones. And then on Friday, June 29th, we have Red, which is a Taylor Swift tribute band. And that is, 28th, not the 29th. Thank you, Jordan.
Jordan, thank you for putting the calendar.
Thank you for correcting me.
I do that all the time, I feel for you there, Marissa. Go ahead.
That's all right.
The 28th, we have this Taylor Swift tribute band. So we're going to go all with this. We've had we had a Taylor Swift tribute band last year. It was a tremendous success. Huge dance party. We then followed up a couple months ago. We had a bracelet making party here at Hub and Spoke, and we played Taylor Swift music, and we had fans of all ages, all genders. It was really great. We had a group of high school Fishers football boys here that were making friendship bracelets, and so that'll be a component of that concert as well. And then we'll end that night with fireworks on Friday night.
Well, let me switch to Spark Fishers. And Jordan, I want to ask you about that.
Yeah.
The concerts are one big part of that, but it seems to get bigger every year. Let me start off with the drone show. The drone show was a big hit last year.
It was.
And I do not know how, maybe they use artificial intelligence. I don't know. How do you get those drones to go together and do these things?
It's amazing.
It's amazing to me as to how that could be done. So for those who have not seen the drone show, what would they be, if they decide to come and see it this year, what do you think they'll experience?
Yeah, I mean, you know, I'm not a drone expert myself either. So, you know, I'm just as excited to see what they can come up with. And I think just being a fan of that and being able to just be in awe of what they can do is just as, you know, part of why we want them here too. I think a lot of the community is really excited for that too. But as far as like the drone component, I think we're still kind of figuring out what we're gonna kind of put out there. So we're not quite ready to let people know what they're gonna see. So we're gonna have them encourage them to come out and take a look at that, so they can be surprised and in awe as well. So
well, Spark Fishers I should say the summer festival in Fishers, going all the way back to 1989, was a 2-day event to start off with. I think we're looking at a 5-day event. This year, so kind of give people an idea what to expect in terms of the schedule.
Yeah, so Spark Fishers is one of those events that is just huge in this community, and people come out from all over the community and even the surrounding communities to come enjoy it. And so we're always looking at ways that we can kind of expand it and really expand and enhance the experience of it. And so this year we're really excited to announce that we're partnering up with the Rotary Club here in Fishers, and they're going to kick off the entire week on Monday, June 24th with their golf outing at Hawthorne Country Club. And so that's one way that we're kind of expanding the Spark footprint, if you will, to include some more of those festivities. And then as the week goes on, July 25th is Tuesday concert, as we kind of talked about, is the Uptown Funk show, the Bruno Mars and the drone show. And then on June 26th, the Wednesday of Spark, we are doing our annual 5K run, Spark Fishers 5K. So if you haven't signed up for that and you're interested in doing that, do that. Go ahead and sign up on playfishers.com. And then the other component to that Wednesday is we've also introduced a 1-mile kind of all abilities kind of run. And so we're really encouraging anybody who may think that 5K is a little bit intimidating for them, or they just want to get out and just get some sort of exercise. We're trying to accommodate that crowd as well with a 1-mile run before the 5K. So that's one component that we are adding on to Spark Fishers.
And I'll jump in really fast on that. That was a really cool takeaway from the My Point of View Day, which is one of the events that we hold each year during March Disability Month. There was a resident who was a runner. He's a young dad and suffered a stroke and since then has not been able to run and experience that with his kids. That really hit home for me. And, you know, couldn't imagine, you know, being a young parent and not being able to experience the things that you had planned to experience with your kids. And so that's kind of what made that kind of take flight. And here we are a year after that. And we are so excited to launch that, that one miler. And it's not only for those that have a disability. It is also for, again, anyone that finds a 5K intimidating. You know, as I get older, it's a little more intimidating to me. So it's really cool that we get to do that a year later.
You know, one thing that I've had a chance to see the last few years, the auto show. The auto show has grown a lot. More cars, more people. There are artists out there. That takes up one of your 5 days.
Yeah, and so following the 5K, Thursday, we get to bring back the car and art show. And so that's another one of those really popular events during Spark. And so we work with Fisher's Arts Council on that, and we get some artists in here and some people with some really cool cars and get to show that off. And this year, we're also trying to expand that as well. And with the new City Hall that's going to be opening up here shortly, really looking at ways that we can kind of incorporate our footprint into their footprint as well. And so we're working to make sure we expand that car and art show. And then after the car and art show, we have our Taylor Swift band coming out on Friday with the fireworks, and then wrapping up Spark Fishers on Saturday the 29th with our large festival and our parade. And so again, we're really here at Fisher's Parks, we really are trying to enhance the people's experience. And so, you know, we're moving things around so that people can experience it a little bit differently. We're adding new amenities to the festival so people can have some fresh activations to take a part of too. So people can expect things like a roller rink, zip lines, game trucks, escape room, and many, many more things to come to have fun. So.
Okay, I got to ask Marissa this, because last year I was trying to shoot video on 116th Street, and as many times as Tom Britt would get on the PA and ask people to stay on the sidewalk, they didn't. There were people standing in the middle of the street. I think the big reason is there were a lot of kids there, and they all wanted candy that was being thrown out, which is a tradition.
Yes,
you know.
Yes.
Have you thought about, in planning the parade, how to kind of do a better job of crowd control? I was really concerned somebody was going to get hurt.
I was too. And yes, there's been a lot of discussion about that. And, you know, do you make the decision to have no candy when people look forward to that? And that's part of the tradition. What we've come up with is it's a little bit of a different route this year. We haven't announced that route, but it will be a different route. I think part of the struggle last year was that 116th Street is so wide, right? So if you have folks on either side of that, they're running through, you know, right in front of vehicles. And so there will be a rule this year for all of the participants that if they are going to be giving out candy, they need to have people walking alongside the vehicle. There can't be any tossing candy from a vehicle under any circumstances. So we're going to do our best to make sure that that happens.
Well, if you had hard candy, that could be a bit dangerous.
Yeah, that's true.
I must tell
true.
You, people did have fun throwing the candy. So yeah, that's a thing of the past,
yes,
as far as that parade,
yes,
is concerned.
Yeah.
Whoever wants to take this question, I know that with all the events you certainly do have a staff that works very hard, but you also need to use volunteers. So talk about volunteering for some of these events if people want to do that.
We absolutely couldn't do most of our events without volunteers, really. Something, especially like Spark, when we have over 200 volunteers in a variety of different positions over several days, it just simply couldn't happen without volunteers. But even down to our littler events, our registration events, pre-K prom and spring formal, the 3-on-3 tournament, you know, we do have a staff, but we do a lot of events. And so our staff is stretched very, very thin. There's only so many people. And so, there's a variety of different ways in which you can get engaged. If you want to be outside at an event, there's a place for that. If you really enjoy working with kids, one of the things that I have loved seeing with our partnership with HSC here at the Makerspace, we have the fifth grade program that comes through here. And so we have retirees that are engineers and people that have owned, you know, their own businesses and are now retired, and they just want to be involved, and they're showing, you know, kids, like putting tools in kids' hands, and it brings them so much joy. And to have, you know, a kid see somebody that has that lived experience is pretty cool too. I think there's value on both sides. And mm-hmm. so there's so many ways to get involved. It could be, you know, indoors. It could be prepping for an event. If you don't want to be outside at an event and you want to come and help us, you know, put together balloon arches, then there's an opportunity to do that too. So Volunteer Fishers is the website to get involved, and Amy Krell is our volunteer coordinator. She's great, and she'll get in contact with kind of the best fit for you.
And I just like to add, just when it comes to volunteering, I mean, it's a great way to just find your purpose. And, you know, with the discussion about mental health and everything that's going around right now, it's a really great way to be able to find a spot for you to kind of get involved in the community, meet new people. You might find a new hobby through volunteering and all those things. And I think that just volunteering, it just really builds a stronger community as well. And so, you know, people who are invested in our programs, you know, they're going to be more likely to advocate for the programs that we have and events. And so we really want to encourage people, you know, if you're looking for a place to volunteer, you know, this is definitely one of those places to do that. So,
well, those are my questions. Each of you, I'll give you a chance. Marissa, anything you want to add?
I just am so appreciative of this community. I think that what we get to do in connecting with the community is just so much fun and so important. You know, living and getting to play in a community like this is really kind of a treasure. I think we're doing some really fun, cool new stuff. So check it out, Clay Fishers.
Jordan, same question.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, having a different perspective and being new to the community, it's really exciting to come alongside some of these awesome projects, big things going on. You know, Fishers has been, before we moved up here, has been a destination for us to come and eat, play, enjoy, and you know, just find some new things to do. And so being able to be a part of that now is really exciting. So.
And I'll just add one thing, you know, Marissa knows this, every time there's been a survey done on parks in Fishers, people give, who live here, give our parks high rate. How many parks do you have now? Is it 22?
25. Yeah.
You're up to 25 different, it counts all the parks in the entire community. So you certainly have to feel good about the fact that the people who live here give the parks a very high rating.
Yeah.
Marissa Deckard is the director of the Fishers Park and Recreation Department, and Jordan Briard is the assistant director, and we thank you both for your time today.
Absolutely.
Thank you, Larry.